Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School.
Me, Jesse from Laytonville High School.
And myself, Kia from Laytonville High School.
Today our topic is sources of knowledge. We are in high school, so we spend more than 40 hours a week between school and homework. It is a full-time job, and the reward is that we are acquiring knowledge and skills for the future. Other aspects of high school are certainly valuable, especially socialization and extracurricular activities. But the goal, and in fact legal requirement, is that we pursue education until we are at least 16. We all enjoy school, but there are a number of young people who look at it as an imprisonment.
The state has determined that we must take certain classes to graduate, including 3 years of English, 2 years of mathematics, including algebra, 2 years of science, including biology, 3 years of social sciences, including U.S. history, American government, and economics. Also required is 1 year in visual or performing arts, foreign language, or career technical training, and 2 years in physical education. Youth being homeschooled or taking independent study may challenge classes or work out alternative plans. Last February, Youth Speaks Out did a show on Revisioning High School Part 5, in which we discussed changes to the way in which we configure high school. This show included an inspired presentation by a retiring charter school principal about his vision for making high school more effective and relevant. This show may be easily listened to at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net, and is really worth your time.
When talking about acquiring knowledge, formal schooling is only part of the picture. Parents are our primary teachers, starting the task 5 or 6 years before we enter a classroom. They teach mainly by setting example which the children imitates and then plays. Because of children's natural curiosity and imagination, play-based activities develop skills and uncover children's natural interests. As language skills develop, explanations and verbal directions become the teaching method. Parents and siblings continue to be a primary teacher, though some children attend preschool. Most of us enter a school system at 5 or 6 and begin attending school 5 days a week for the next 12 years, about 900 classroom hours per year. We are grouped together by year of birth and taught at a rate considered normal for our age. We are tested for our skills and recollection of facts. By the end of school, we have acquired a moderate amount of knowledge and hopefully the skills to continue learning for the rest of our lives. But during these 12 years, we will have had mainly other sources of knowledge, many other sources of knowledge.
The average American youth who attends school for 900 hours each year will watch television for 1,500 hours each year. The Kaiser Family Foundation research found that in high school, the average combined use of television and internet was over 7 hours per day, or 2,500 hours per year. While a significant portion of this time is on entertainment like social media, texting, and games, some of this is a source of knowledge. Most Americans use the internet as a portable library, allowing the user to research all topics, and it is open 24/7. Much praise has been given to the nearly free access to knowledge that the web provides. Clearly, the majority of material on the internet is superfluous, questionable, and a distraction. But this is true of print media as well. The shift in the amount of media available to youth has amplified some educators' pleas to make media literacy courses a high school requirement. From our research, this is not happening anywhere in America.
Media education courses have been required in Canadian high schools since the 1980s and in most of Europe. Media literacy is the ability to analyze and evaluate material presented as fact or truth, as in news reporting, and to identify the influence of advertising and media ownership. Youth Speaks Out has done several programs on media literacy, and they are available at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net. We will discuss the subject in a while. While working with our families, developing land has been a source of knowledge for us and for many youth living in this region. We are fortunate to learn how to garden, raise animals, hunt, construct buildings, and develop water and roads. Knowledge acquired while working with family and friends deepens relationships as well. Some youth have the opportunity to work part-time at a job, which is beneficial on many levels, including our education. At Laytonville High School, we are most fortunate to have a class in guitar construction. In a sense, everything we actively do is an opportunity to gain knowledge if we are paying attention.
Denis Diderot was a French philosopher, art critic, and writer in the 18th century France. He wrote, "There are three principal means of acquiring knowledge: observation of nature, reflection, and experimentation. Observation collects facts. Reflection combines them, and experimentation varies the results and verifies the results of that combination."
Jean Piaget was a 20th century philosopher and educator born in Switzerland. He wrote, "The principal goal of education in the schools should be creating men and women who are capable of doing new things, not simply repeating what other generations have done. Men and women who are creative, inventive, and discoverers, who can be critical and verify and not accept everything they are offered."
Richard Feynman was a 20th century American physicist who wrote, "You can know the name of a bird in all the languages of the world, but when you're finished, you'll know absolutely nothing whatever about the bird. So let's look at the bird and see what it's doing. That's what counts." I learned very early the difference between knowing the name of something and knowing something. We're going to start the show by discussing how we acquire knowledge and how we have developed our ability to learn. We will also talk about the vast amount of media available to us and how we use it, and maybe how it uses us. And then, in 20 minutes or so, we will ask you to call in and join the discussion at 456-9991. We host this program to increase the understanding between all the age groups in our community and all the different perspectives. And despite our diversity, we are all gaining knowledge daily. So let's begin by going around and describing about how much of our knowledge comes from school and what other sources of learning are.
A lot of the knowledge that I have, like, a lot of it's come from school, high school in particular, like how to refine my writing skills in my essays, or my different science classes. I've taken biology, physics, and chemistry this year, and I wouldn't have been able to gather that knowledge outside of my house. Also, another thing is my math. I definitely wouldn't have been able to do that without school. And then, for myself personally, a class that's very helpful is my computers class, because I have a really hard time with technology. Modern day technology and me don't see eye to eye. And so...
Oh, you're telling me.
My computer class has really helped me with that.
What have you learned, Jordan?
To me, it seems more like school provides a foundation for everything, and then you can build on that yourself. I don't know if that's just me. That's my opinion. It's kind of a foundation, and you can build on that foundation with just thinking about what you've learned. Specifically, if you went home after school, for example, one day, and you just thought about what you learned that day, you can apply it to the things in your life. Or you could go and read more about it, understand other people's understandings.
You know, it is scientifically proven that after you learn something, you should take a nap because you'll retain the knowledge. That's what I feel.
I'm going to live by that philosophy.
I've learned a lot from school. Like Kia said, refining my writing in physics. I hate chemistry. But I think I learned most of refining my writing in 10th and 11th grade from our English teacher. That has moved. But yeah, I think I've learned a lot of that from there. And math. Whenever I don't understand something for math, I always go on I used to go on YouTube and look for stuff, but now I go to Khan Academy, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, khanacademy.com, because we had to do that for computers last year. And they have, stuff for SAT prep, any kind of prep that you could think of, and then it just has, math and English and everything. That's where I went to study.
It's like a free online school, pretty much.
It is.
Basically. It's really helpful.
Yeah, that's what I use for studying before the SAT.
Now, what other sources of education do you guys receive your knowledge from?
I receive a lot of my knowledge from, my home. My parents have taught me a lot. Also just day-to-day life, but my main teacher is myself, just learning from my own mistakes and not doing them again, kind of bringing it back towards what I'm learning from school is they say history is an important thing to know so you don't repeat your past. And I feel the same is for your own personal history. Maybe not 100 years back with all the old presidents and stuff, but maybe like 2 hours back, you just made this mistake and you're not going to do it again.
I still think the history is important too for like not repeating, because a lot of people are interested in politics and be like, okay, this didn't work before. It probably won't work now. You know, nobody liked it. Nobody will probably support you.
Well, exactly. That's why history is such an important subject to learn in school. So yeah. You don't repeat your past. Like, it's changed because we didn't like it or it didn't work out for us. And that's why it's changed.
What about things outside of... all right, let me find a way to word this. Outside of philosophical ideas. You know, you say that kind of thing. That it's important to learn about your own history so that you don't repeat your own mistakes. But what about things, specific things that you do, factual things?
I'm trying to find
a good way to word this. It makes sense in my own mind. But
answer your own question then.
All right, yeah, I need to make it a question. Things like math. Math, there's one set thing that you can do. It's one set standard and everything like that. The sciences are like that. Is it possible to learn that from an outside source other than school?
Khan Academy.
Well, Khan Academy. Khan Academy is pretty much a school.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like there is. I mean, math had to be originated from somewhere. Some crazy lunatic had to go out there and be like, well, 2 + 2 = 4. Yes! Magic!
Isaac Newton and calculus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He invented calculus.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, do you think that the average person could do that?
I couldn't do it. I don't know if I'm average or not, but I couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, they were obviously smarter than average people.
Smarter than the average bear.
I think you could if you just spent, like, a lot of time on it, if you're really interested in it. I mean, we have scientists that come up with new ideas. They're average people. They're just really into it, you know? Like, everybody has, like, specific interests. I think it just depends on what you like to apply your time to.
What interests you most?
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
You should.
So what knowledge do you learn outside of school, Jordan? Like,
Do you mean...
Like, what do you acquire that's, like, not school-based? Like,
okay, so, Okay, let me put it this way. Morals or factual things?
In general.
In general, okay. That makes it easier. Well, living around here, we have a much better opportunity than someone who live more in a more urban setting. We have the ability to work on things. I mean, we work in gardens. We work on water systems, that kind of a thing. We help build houses, that kind of stuff. And a lot of people living in the city don't get that same experience. Which I think that's one of the most important things about living rurally, is you learn those new skills that nobody else will have.
We have survival skills.
Survival.
We could survive in the apocalypse.
So if you guys have stayed in, like, home until high school, do you think that you'd be able to catch up?
What do you mean?
Like if you're homeschooled or something, or if you were just at home working and then you suddenly went to high school, do you think you'd be able to catch up with all the curriculum?
I feel like homeschooling has its advantages and disadvantages. You would still probably learn the same, like, curriculum, like, because you have to test all the same tests that people in school do. It's just the thing you lose is the social skills. And that's a big thing for me in high school, is the social skills you acquire, learning how to talk to people and work with people and being able to be social and not a hermit.
You never know. You could be at home doing homeschool just because you are working with other people.
A lot of people do it, though, because around these parts, I should say, a lot of people do it because they can't travel to school, so that means they can't travel to other people. Mm-hmm. So that's why they do the homeschooling.
Yeah, I kind of have my own opinion on that. I'm not talking about homeschool. I'm talking about if you did not go to school before high school. I feel like elementary school and middle school are all just learning the beginnings of a language, pretty much. I feel like we could all understand what happens in high school if it was taught to us in an easier way to understand, but there's no way to comprehend, to contemplate what is going on without having a prior experience and knowledge.
Yeah, I think in elementary school and middle school, it's also like how you should present yourself to your elders and stuff. And then if you just came in high school, it'd be pretty difficult.
Exactly.
For teachers to handle you.
Well, yeah. That's difficult already. But.
Worse.
It'd be even more so because we'd have no respect. Like, I'm not saying that kids who are homeschooled have no respect, but that's a thing that's kind of taught in school, is to have respect for people that are older for you. And I see that a lot more and more now, is people don't have respect for their elders, and people think elders are some old gray person, but it's not. It's someone who's anything much older than you. That's an elder. And a lot of kids don't understand that, and it disrespects not only me, but it disrespects the person they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So how's your feel on that subject?
How is my feel on that subject?
like, do you feel the same way? Are you disrespected when people don't treat elderlies with respect?
Yeah, my feels agree.
For me, I just think, like, I kind of start, like, off with, like, the same feels of everybody, you know? But when people do that kind of stuff, it makes me lose respect for them when they do it, you know? Because it's just rude.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's just because the kid doesn't know any better, or I shouldn't say the kid because it's not only one person, but if it's just, like, they don't know any better, or if they're just really that ignorant and like to be disrespectful.
It's probably a mixture of both.
How much of our education do you guys think that, I'm talking about specifically school education, that we will use outside of our everyday life? Do you think that that will apply every single day, or if it's just to get us a broad understanding of what has happened in the world and what will happen?
Our sciences will. Like, I know after my physics class, every time I look at something, be like, I know why this works, kind of thing, you know, just start geeking out on it.
All of the action movies are now ruined.
Yeah, for sure. Also, but I know some math we will use in day-to-day life, like parts of algebra and parts of geometry, but like trig and pre-calculus and calculus isn't used as much in day-to-day life. And I know it's like a good thing to have because it's like higher up in smarticle and stuff.
Smarticle. Well, you know, that's kind of like physics is... I'm taking calculus, and I see now that just like I did before I took, well, I kind of understood physics before I even took physics, but now you mentioned that after you took physics, you see how that applies to everything. That's how it is now that I'm in calculus. Everything revolves around that.
And it's kind of weird. My trig teacher, he was saying like math is to do with everything, like with plants and making, like, business plans. Business plans are really important in day-to-day life. And, like, being able to apply for loans and stuff, it's just math is everywhere, and it's kind of creepy, and everyone's like, I hate math. It's like, well, you're gonna need it later, so learn it now.
The cool thing about math is it's completely real, yet it's not real at all. It's weird.
Yeah, totally conceptual. You're just like, well, if I do this, then this happens. Boom, magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I guess that really didn't answer my question.
Nope.
How much of our education is used in everyday life?
I think math mostly, and essay. Well, I think it just depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, what about English? What about communication?
Yeah, well, I was going to say like that. Essays and
English,
public
for sure.
Speaking.
I know my English classes. Not a lot in the history have taught me a lot, but there has been, like, that one rare teacher that's been able to get through and just be like, this is what you need. And I didn't understand back then. He's like, you're such a jerk making me write all these essays. But now that I'm in high school, I understand. But, like, I'm so grateful, and I'm sorry I was such a jerk to you.
Yeah, I know someone, they graduated a few years ago, and they went to a school down south. And I think, like, in their first week of an English class, they already had to turn in an essay, and they walked into their class, and their essay was up on the board, like, projected on it, and they were like, oh my god, what is happening? And then the teacher was like, you see this? This is a perfect example of an essay. This is what you need to do. And it's like a class of like a couple hundred people. So it's not like, it's only like 10 people, 10, 20. No, it's like a couple hundred.
I'd start freaking out hardcore. Like, oh my god, how then, bad is it?
Then you'd be proud.
Then I'd be proud, but when I walked in there, I'd start having heart attacks, needing to call an ambulance.
Do you guys have any idea of how much your time in school has really been effective, and how much is a waste of time?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well,
go ahead.
Okay, wait. Some of my classes, you know, I don't know if this is just me, but I zone out like 80% of the time.
Chemistry.
100%. Spanish 3. 100%. This yes. Boy takes zero notes. I don't know how he does it. Makes me want to punch him.
He's like 1,000 times better than us in Spanish, and he does nothing.
He sits there and sleeps.
Not even. He just... I don't even know what he does. He just sits there.
I've only slept once in Spanish. Let's get that... Let's clear that up.
I think I put Kia to sleep in Spanish before.
No, that wasn't Spanish. It was chemistry.
Ah.
Yeah, but... So what percentage of your time do you think is valuable? I would say the time that I'm learning, the percentage of my time that I'm in class that I'm learning is probably about 20%. And I'm not blaming that on the teachers. That's just, I think that's just a personal thing with me, is that I only, it's easier for me to understand the concepts. The teacher will introduce the concept and then explain it, and the explanation is just wiped away pretty much for me. I'm just... spacing out.
When it starts getting all confusing and, like, you start mixing it up, like, for me, like, it's more confusing, like, especially in math, when teachers start trying to dumb it down. I'm like, I'll get it first, and then they'll start going into it, like, in extreme depth, and they're like, okay, I've lost you. I got you first, but now, I know you're talking about the same thing, but I don't know what you're doing there.
I know that this year, I'm actually using my time a lot more wisely in class. But last year, like, I was wasting 4 hours of my day, and I used to always complain, like, why am I here right now? I could be doing something productive. Instead, I'm in a study hall, or I'm in what our school likes to call PE, which is basically nap time, or I found it wasteful. I found, like, I could just get all my classes done and then go home and be productive.
What else could you have done with your time?
Sleep.
Oh yes, the basic principle of procrastination.
Oh yes, you
know, teenagers do need like 9 hours of sleep, and then teachers give us like 3 hours of homework.
Scientifically proven. And then after all the sports and extracurriculars I do, is definitely like, if my homework does not get done in class, it's not going to get done until the next day in class.
Yeah, Key and I don't leave town until 7.
I don't get home on a good day until 10 o'clock at night. And then I'm like, food, bed, good night.
That you gonna make.
That I make.
The unlucky.
Hey, at least it's edible. Could be worse. Could be microwavable, except for we don't have a microwave. Man.
I wish I had a microwave. It just doesn't work well.
No, it sucks. It's like 20 years old.
What about... technological literacy. Do you think that schools should institute something like that, or do you think we can teach ourselves that kind of skill?
I think we still like need it, because like for Laytonville, we have the freshman computers and junior computers. Mm-hmm. And I know that definitely looks good on a resume, saying that you've like worked with this, like you know how to work PowerPoints and Excel, you know, because a lot of people like a generation before us don't know how to do that as well as we do. So I think, especially with the times now, that it's good to introduce in the classroom.
I kind of wish that we actually had more available. Like, I understand that we get our freshman and junior year. But like I said, I'm really bad with technology, and I wish I could learn it better. But I skip my sophomore year, and I'll skip my senior year. And I wish, like, not have it mandatory, but have it available. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, like, you can take this kind of as extra.
You could take freshman computers, you just wouldn't like it.
It would be pointless because I wouldn't get a grade. Or if I get a better grade, then it would replace the one on my transcript, but it's kind of pointless. I feel like we should have it available as extra, you know, just being able to take that extra class.
Yeah. Khan Academy actually has something like that too, don't they? Right, Jesse? You're the Khan Academy expert.
Yes, I do. It does. It does, but what it is it's computer programming.
Well, no,
so you have to have the basic knowledge on how to work a computer and able to do the computer programming. I only know this because we did that for like a week.
Okay, we did that for like a month. They have a lot more than that.
Well,
our teacher made us go into it. I had the most points because like every video and stuff gives you points. I had the most points out of everybody.
Well, what it does is it tells what we were going through was the computer computer programming. So we didn't get to go through the whole thing. And it's always kind of like it's an option. Well, you can do Khan Academy, but you get to catch up on all the other stuff that you missed because you have a block schedule. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it I just did at home. Because, I mean, it's just short videos, but you have to go through, like, three sections that have, like, freaking 40 things each, which is insane.
Well, that's also another thing is teachers nowadays expect you to have internet at home. And I do not.
In time.
In some classes, it's a requirement, actually. Yeah. You know, I'm taking college at... Or I'm not taking college. I'm taking English at at Mendocino College. And
online,
yeah. So it's a requirement. And, yeah, college courses are a lot different than high school courses, I noticed.
Well, if you have a study hall, you could always do it in the library. If. But, I mean, that's a big if.
If,
and
yeah.
And I don't. And that's the big thing is teachers... I know my AP English teacher this year, he already asked, he's like, so how many of you have TV at home? I'm like, I don't. He's like, how about internet? I'm like, I don't. I run off a generator and I have no cell phone service and I don't have a TV. And so it puts me at a major downfall, but it's not like it's my fault. It's just the standards are different. I find it weird because when I was younger, it wasn't like, oh, you don't have TV, whatever, you know, big deal. And then now it's like, oh my god, you don't have TV?
Yeah, no. When I was a little kid, we had cable that we stole from the neighbors. My dad was an electrician. I'm not joking.
I find it inappropriate, almost. I guess that's a good word, that they find it as a requirement. Like, well, you need these things.
And if you don't
can't live without them.
And if you don't have it, they expect you to have a study hall to do it.
And I don't.
Because I have two study halls on short days. So together, it's like an hour and...
Hour and a half.
No, because it's a short day.
Well, they're 45-minute classes on short days.
I think they're 40.
45. I counted. I got bored.
I counted every single minute. It was awful.
I just subtracted the two times.
How do you find, I have a question here, in case you didn't notice. How do you find videos in your classes? How many of them, and how effective are they?
I like the, when we had our old English teacher at the Laytonville High School, I like the videos we did, because we would always do, like, we'd read a Shakespeare book, and then we would do a scene of it, and we would, like, videotape it, and I really liked those. I mean... Because it made you, like, act it out, and you had to read, like, what was directly off of the book, you know? You can't just make up some shenanigans. But I like the videos we've had to do. And I know we had to do a Veterans History Project for the Library of Congress my sophomore year. Wasn't it our sophomore year?
That made me mad. I didn't do that my sophomore year, and I was looking so forward to it, and my stupid teacher didn't have us do it. I'm like, ugh.
I didn't do that either, because I was an AP. But,
On. I'm the only one that did that then.
Yeah.
But we got in with it. We got a pair with someone, and we would get two people to interview, and I think some people had one, or some people had three. I don't know. It was just weird. And we would interview them. We would have, like, a list of questions, and we would... have them tell us stories and stuff about their what it was like for them in whatever war they were in. And I think it was really nice, and it was pretty educational because we got to sit there and talk to them, and we got to learn about what the military was like for them. And I think it was really nice to do. And I have a certificate from the Library of Congress now.
That's pretty
you're
cool.
Certified.
Congressional recognition. I had to look at it this weekend, actually.
What about videos that your teachers present? There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. Not president.
Well, I was actually thinking about that question while Jessie was going on about her shenanigans. And out of all the teachers I have this year, I don't really remember last year, but this year, only one out of my 8 teachers don't use videos to teach. And I found that kind of weird. And it's just, it's not that they use them to teach, but they use it kind of as reference points. Like my AP teacher was using YouTube videos to go over Pathos, Logos, and the other one that I can't remember to...
No, Ethos. I think that was... Ethos. He was using Prezi, but a website that it's like... It's pretty much like a PowerPoint, but it's like everywhere.
He was using it. Also, he was doing YouTube videos.
Well, it had YouTube videos on it.
Well, that's what I meant by the videos.
So, my question, how do you feel about the videos? Well, like, do they help you learn?
Sometimes. I mean, that's why I brought up my AP English classes, because it actually did help, because English isn't my strong suit, even though I'm in AP. And then, I know my science teacher, he likes to use videos, and last year he used one of a bridge that went down because of natural frequencies.
Tacoma Narrows.
And that kind of helped me understand it. But then there's also the classes that just show videos of, like, documents that were outdated 20 years ago, and they don't really help because were outdated 20 years ago for a reason.
Yeah, we have a... Go. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, we have a video day. It's called Video Day now every Friday in our government class. And
I learned nothing.
Yeah, we sit there and we watch videos. These are the old... I know me saying old school is 90s. That applies for me, not for most of the people listening. But yeah, it's antiquated.
Like, most of the ones that we've watched, except for this week, don't even have to do what we're reading with in textbook. It's completely random.
It's just supplementary randomness.
Yeah. Like, oh, working together, participation in the community. I'm pretty sure that was one of the themes, like, a couple weeks ago.
No, that's the one class I'm forced to take notes in.
You take notes?
Assignment. We have open book tests. He doesn't need to take notes. He's lying.
Wait, your notes are assignments?
Yeah, the notes count for points.
Is this sorcery?
The videos.
The videos we have to take, like...
I don't take notes in class, forget that.
But for the videos, we have to take, like, 10 notes of what we learned or something about it. And, or, like, a full-page essay. I remember one time, it was, like, about... people drunk driving and, like, smoking and stuff. And
yeah, what did that have to do with government?
I was going to say, has to do with your government?
What did I write in my notebook?
Sorcery?
You wrote, what did you write? You wrote...
It was, like, drunk driving is statistically 1% safer than something else.
Than texting while driving.
Yeah, it was texting. That's what I took from that video. It is 1% safer to drive drunk.
Wasn't that video from the 90s?
All of them are.
Yeah. How widespread was texting while driving in the 90s?
I think they knew what texting was.
Yeah, I think that statistic's a little bit outdated.
I think I don't remember what phones they had.
I feel
late 90s.
We can date videos by the phones they have.
Like the videos that you guys were talking about, how texting and driving is probably actually... The gap in between, it's safer to drive drunk. I'm not saying it's safe, but it's safer to drive drunk than text. It's probably gone up because they've actually really cracked down on the drunk driving and people are actually getting smarter about it just because they've learned from their past. But since texting is so moderate, I feel like the percentage has gone up. And I had actually a friend that she got totally, like, her car is totaled now because someone ran a red light when they were texting and driving, and her car, she just got it, it was brand new. It was like 2 months old, and now it's completely totaled, and she has no car now. Luckily, she wasn't hurt, but it's just, I don't understand why people just can't understand to put it down.
Well, I know my stepdad, it was like 1 or 2 years ago, he was driving to Ukiah, and he was just like going normally, and then one of our neighbors actually was drunk driving, and they were completely on his side of the road, like, hauling at him, like, at 80 miles per hour.
I wasn't saying that drunk driving is safe. Yeah. I feel like the texting has become more of an issue now, more so than drunk driving. Like, kind of, Riley...
Now it's, like, drunk driving.
Well, a rally we're getting ready to do for a homecoming is this thing called two and two. Is like mm-hmm. two hands on the wheel, two eyes on the road. It's like, it's not important.
Yeah, the State Farm, it, like, they're trying to give us a grant that we pretty much have to work for. So, like, the community, the students, and everybody else, like, the staff, like, have to commit to safe driving, which is the two and two, which she was saying, and then you log on to, I don't remember what.
Your email.
Well, you log on to a website, I don't remember
It's probably the two and two.
No, that's, you have to put in something.
It's State Farm, and then I think you type in two and two or something.
Well,
like
that's,
that.
Yeah, you have to, well, you search State Farm, like, grants, I guess, and then it takes you to a place where you can vote for a school, which Laytonville High School is trying to get, and, like, I think the grand prize is $100,000 and a private concert from the band Perry,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving out 50 scholarships to small schools, which is under 750 students,
mm-hmm.
and all you have to do is enter email once a day, every day, from October 15th through the 24th, I believe it is.
Yep.
And, yeah.
I think it's going to be a great thing. I really hope we can get the commitment from our community and our students to get it. I think it'll be a great thing for our school because this grant goes towards our school.
And we're going to try to have a booth up and walk around, like, that whole week with, like, little, with computers, pads, and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and try to get people to sign up around town, Laytonville.
I'm going to bring us back to the education.
That is education. That it will help our education.
I know. That's cash, though. Anyway, social media specifically, and not even social media, just media in general, people get a lot of their education from the media. I read an article the other day that was in MSNBC stated that the main cause for the outbreak of Ebola was the NRA's fault, the National Rifle Association's fault.
How is what?
Yeah.
It's what? That's weird. I don't agree with that.
That's because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That makes zero sense at all.
No, they stated that the cause for the outbreak of Ebola was that the surgeon, the former Surgeon General, who had anti-gun policies, was outed by the NRA and caused the massive outbreak of Ebola.
How would you cause a massive outbreak without being infected?
Logic doesn't make sense to my brain.
How does an organization become infected is the better question.
That's true.
No,
there's just so many errors in this.
Although corporations are people.
This theory is not good.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, my point is that I'm not really sure how many... I'm not multiple people, so I don't know how I don't have multiple personality disorder. So
there's only one of my personalities I don't talk to.
So I don't know how people interpret media, their knowledge from media as being factual or it being biased in some way. Like, you know, that article I read was pretty biased, I would say.
And unintelligent.
I feel like a lot of media that way is that way, though. Like, they're biased. They don't tell you the whole truth, or they twist what people say, and they'll put images in the wrong context, and it just makes someone seem such, like, an evil person if they want to. They can make them seem like Little Miss Sunshine if they just killed someone.
Yeah.
It's just they take words and they twist it.
That's what a lot of news media does, because they'll be more lenient towards these types of people, because that's who their company has been working with forever. So they're not going to try to say anything harsh, you know, about them. They're going to try to make them as great as possible to everybody.
Yeah, that's the flip side of the right to free press, is that it can become biased. I know people would much prefer government to stay out of any kind of media or, you know, press. But when it's impersonal, when it's run by people, personal matters come up, is the thing.
Yeah, there's a quote by Socrates, the only good is knowledge and the only evil is ignorance. So what would you consider knowledge?
What?
The only good is knowledge is having a generalization of what is going on in your surroundings and, like, the actual truth to things.
And understanding.
That's the good in things, but not knowing. Some people say ignorance is bliss, but it's not always bliss. Just because you don't know what's going on around you doesn't mean it's not happening. And I feel like I would rather know what's going on around me than just saying, oh, you know, my best friend's dead, but I don't know yet, so wee-hee! Yeah, so ignorance to me is not bliss.
For me, I think knowledge is like being able to see both sides to every story. Because you know how they always say there's both sides? Like, seeing it from this perspective and someone else's. And still coming, like, if you still come to your conclusion, that's fine. But, I mean, you can't just be, like, you guys are talking about bias, you know? You can't just be biased to one side and not even care to understand, because that is ignorance.
Exactly. Confucius said, to know what you know and what you do not know, that is true knowledge.
Yeah. That's how I feel. It's just that, just know the full entire story, kind of almost like, I'm going to bring this back to school, but kind of like mock trial. They give you this case, and you can come up with these knowledgeable things that, so you know both sides of the story, and you can create this thing like, this person's guilty because, or this person's not guilty because.
And which parts you especially want to keep out of questions, be like, we are not bringing that up at all.
So you can kind of, like...
And that's my job, is to keep things out in pretrial.
Yeah, well, it gives you the opportunities, like, it gives you a story that's unbiased, but you can create it as biased as you want. You can leave out important details unless you're asked. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that ties into this perfectly.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Completely agree. Interrupting again, I know. Quote from Albert Einstein, information is not knowledge. Knowledge is the understanding of that information.
That's very true, too.
That wasn't the end of the quote. That was just me adding on to it, by the way.
Yeah, that's like the quote that Kia said by Denis Diderot, was it?
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah. Diderot.
There are three principal means of acquiring knowledge: observation of nature, reflection, and experimentation. Observation collects facts, reflection combines them, experimentation verifies the result of that combination. It's also like the quote that Jordan just said, just more in depth.
Einstein was known to make things simple.
For geniuses.
If that's what you say. A lot of their theories were complex back then.
That's true.
Not a lot of people wanted to admit that they were true.
Well, I mean, if you were back then, would you ever be able to figure out E equals MC squared? I mean, it's simple, but I mean, I would never be able to.
It's simple, but I wouldn't be able to think about it, be like, oh, this makes such perfect sense. No, that wouldn't be me.
All right, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insight about how we acquire knowledge. How do you gain knowledge in your day-to-day life? How often do you learn something new in your work? How much television do you watch? How many hours a week are you on the internet?
How do you tell which information on the internet is valid and which is not? Which news sources do you trust? Can you be truly objective? If you have children, do you make a conscious effort to inform them of the ways in which the media attempts to manipulate them? If you live without television, could you explain why you do? If you watch television, which programs are a learning experience?
Are you a media literate? Should there be classes in high school to teach youth to see between the lines of advertising and the news? Have you found that the internet has improved your ability to understand the world? Do you wish that the internet had been around when you were in high school? Have you found ways to become part of the media by posting things on the web? Where do you think the state of media will be in 5 years? 10 years?
Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Cece Wright. I have a 5-year-old. I don't know about sending him to college.
What do you mean you don't know about sending him to college?
I don't believe in artificial intelligence.
What makes you feel that way?
Well, I went to college, and I believe I became stupider.
Oh, I see what you're saying, that the it's more important to learn outside of school, to learn through our own experiences.
You nailed it.
Well, I know nowadays, like, getting a college education really can't, like, promise you anything for a job. But, I mean, in my opinion, I think it just depends on what you really want to go for a job. You know?
Yeah.
So you believe in artificial intelligence?
If you want to be a doctor, I guess I believe in it.
It's also a lot of jobs nowadays. I don't know exactly what knowledge to pursue, but a lot of jobs look at it, say you took a year of business in college. They really like to see that, be like, well, you've been further educated, so you probably know more general knowledge on this subject than someone else, so you'll probably get the job before the person that hasn't gone to that extra schooling.
Mm-hmm. Information isn't necessarily knowledge.
Exactly.
All right. We have another caller on, so.
You guys have a great day.
You too.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to make 2 points. This is a wonderful discussion. And in your remark about the statistics of texting, showed that texting was more dangerous than drunk driving, shows how life imitates art, how irony pervades the whole question. It reminded me of Stevie Wonder's poster that said, "I will drive myself before I let a drunk person drive me." It's the same thing. It's a great irony. So I know you weren't supporting drunk driving, but showing that texting is as or even more dangerous than drunk driving is a wallop, and people ought to pay attention to that. But number two, you were talking about learning things outside of school, and there is a wonderful pursuit or project or maybe even science called biomimicry that you can find on the bioneers.com on the internet, which I do not have, so I haven't been able to look it up, but I heard it on the radio, and they show how nature is the basis for all the sciences, the math. And I remember looking at clouds one day and thinking, oh, this is how Pythagoras invented the geometry, because the planes were at such an angle that I thought, yes, that's how he did it. So biomimicry, I think, is where it's at, and you people sound like people who would really get interested in it.
Yeah, all of our knowledge stems from the outside world.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the difference between information and knowledge, and I'll get off and let somebody else on.
Thank you very much. Caller?
No caller.
Just
false alarm.
You always do this.
Why do you do this to us, Jordan?
This is why we can't have nice things.
Because of you.
Okay, so the number is 456-9991. And call in, let us hear your opinion, or whatever you have to say, or a question. College expands your perspective on the world, in my opinion, and I know I want to go to college for physics, and I want to minor in engineering, so for me, I definitely, like, want and need to go to college. Mm. It's not really an option.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and let you guys know that, I'm really happy when I hear about guys like you, young kids really thinking about the future of everything, you know, because a lot of times as you grow up, people will either tell you that your opinion really doesn't matter because you're young, or they will try to, you know, push you into a direction that you can, you know, honestly see isn't right or natural or good or, you know, any of those things. And I just want to say congratulations, guys. Good for you. You know, whenever they force feed you something, always think about both sides of the issue. You know, that's how we really get to a better place in life.
Mm-hmm. Be unbiased, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's, you have people who are out there who think that what happens in Mendocino County happens all around the world, and that's not true. You know, it's not just a simple case of this works here, so let's do it everywhere. You know, we have to keep thinking. The guy called in earlier and said he didn't appreciate artificial education or artificial intelligence, he said?
Yeah.
Please be wary of these people in life, okay? if you can't take somebody's story and learn from it, if you can't look back at history, and if you can't look at a man who's gone through wars and depression and all of these things and learn anything from him, then something's wrong, you know? And these are who our teachers are. These people who have, are people who have walked in the shoes, who've dug the holes, that are the people who've had to, you know, fight the wars for us. So, you know, if we can't listen to our elders, then we might as well just, you know, we're all going downhill.
Yeah, I agree. We should always listen to the people that have more knowledge. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys are doing awesome. Thanks. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I'm really, really enjoying your show. I'm a high school teacher in Willits, and my theme for this year is how to engage my students and how to make sure that they're not falling asleep and that it isn't a waste of time. And I'm just so eager to hear what it is from you guys that you think makes a class interesting and viable and useful. I teach Spanish, so I was really perked up my ears when you were talking about your Spanish 3. But I also just so appreciate this discussion. It's such a great one, and it's a quandary. How do we do it? How do we keep? Sometimes I feel like it's keeping wild animals in a cage.
It is,
and trying to make it interesting because, you know, I love Spanish. It's my subject. You know, I think that it's a doorway to another culture, and I really want to express that to my students. And yet, I understand there's so many more interesting things out there in the world, you know, and we do this artificial thing, you know, 6 periods a day in a classroom, sitting in chairs. And so, I wanted you to speak a little bit to that, but I also wanted to really appreciate the discussion you've already had. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Caller, you're on the air. Nope, just kidding. Is there? I don't know.
Now you're on the air.
Hi, I am a parent of 3 high school students. One is dually enrolled at the college. And also I have a family member who's attending college now. And I wanted to speak to what we've seen with the children growing up and their backgrounds. I do understand what they're saying about artificial intelligence, but there needs to be a lot more hands-on for the students when they're going to be learning a lot of Waldorf, that type of background in education. They teach from that standpoint with straight hands-on and environment type of teaching. What we found with our children trying to reach into medical professions, because that was their drive and their goal, was that they were going to need to have classroom education. They were going to need to be able to take some of the AP classes. They found themselves here in Mendocino County in classrooms with children who were not likewise motivated. And so a lot of times those classrooms with children who were basically spinning their wheels were interested in each other rather than what was being taught. There was a lot of time wasted for them and their opinions. So being dually enrolled, they've been able to learn more in class and more in college, What do you feel being an AP student as far as, you know, how that's reaching you? Are you AP class at the high school or?
Two of us are taking AP through the high school and one of us is doing AP online through the college.
Yeah, college online, not AP.
It's not AP. It's English 200.
Yeah. But I think it's definitely affected by how motivated the class is, everybody in the class.
For sure. If someone...
Have you had any type of career assessments? Do you see that going on in the schools where they ask the children what their basic interests are and try to steer them in that direction educationally?
Well, for the counselor, I know that she, like, tries to make our classes around that, whatever is available. And in junior computers, we have to pretty much go...
Make a portfolio.
Yeah, we have to make a portfolio and talk about what we want to, like, if we want to go to college and what we want to do and how we're going to do it, you know.
And where we want to go with our lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do they talk to you about your passions and your strengths so that you can self-examine?
Yeah, we've had, I know last year in mine and Jordan's junior computers, we have to make a brag sheet about, like, what we've done, what we want to do, and, like, our certificates that we've gotten, and our hobbies and interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that especially helps, and we have to use a lot of it this year, actually, for college applications and stuff. And it's nice because after we do it all, we put it in a binder and we keep it in the library, so now when times like these are coming... that we have complete access to everything that we did last year.
So that you can use that with counseling as you go forward. You can keep an eye on basically what is the prize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I find that there are a lot of students, high school students, that my children have associated with and that just really seem to remain lost. They attend school, but they don't really see the point.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's some students in the school like that.
What am I going to use calculus for, really? What am I going to use trig for? How is this? Am I going to be an architect? That's not really what my drive is. Why do I need to take that for medicine? Do I need to take calculus-based physics? Why should I have to do that? There seems to be a lot of meaningless education, but it's generality that's supposed to lift you up in the building blocks of education that, in the end, may or may not be used.
Yeah, I believe it's, like, I don't believe that all the education in high school is meaningless. It just pretty much, it helps students figure out what they want to do, and a lot of students have different ideas of what they want to do, so it's just trying to have everybody get their paths going, you know,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you see that you're getting support in this area, in, you know, where you're coming from towards your goals? For college and your education, do you feel like you're going to be able to be competitive?
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of being in a small school, especially, is that you have the time to be able to work on the stuff with everybody around you when they actually care about helping you get to that goal. So I think coming from a small town is especially helpful.
Smaller group
with that.
Focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all the time we have. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jordan.
Myself, Jesse.
And myself, Kia.
Laytonville Healthy Starts Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jema at jemashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, and get a copy of the show, and may listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. These views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That's November 2nd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.